Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, Surrey Church, welcome to More Than That. I'm Gus Bird. I'm sitting here with Rafael McCandla, and just want to welcome you to our podcast where we give the pastor a chance to speak to his congregation for about 10 minutes, we give or take 10. Usually give more.
Yeah.
But this week we... The sermon was on Psalm 44. If you haven't heard it, please listen to that, because this is an addition to, not a replacement of, that sermon. So, this sermon was good. I heard a lot of people talk about it in the lobby, and kind of a lot of conviction going on with it. So it was good, man. So,
yep.
If you had 10 more minutes to add on to that, good sermon,
I don't know.
What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a good sermon, but it comes at a price, right? Yeah, comes at a price. Like, it was just, probably what blew me away was just looking at how constantly, how more than ever in this generation, there's a lot of sense of just overwhelming defeat.
Mm-hmm.
So Psalm 44 is a psalm, it's a lament psalm when there's national defeat. So just really, if I was to spend a little bit more time, it would probably be going a little bit deeper. The psalm itself, I think we did a great job in just breaking it down and outlining it. But then the applying it, I think I would have gone a little bit deeper in terms of which there's no way you can capture all the things that cause us to feel defeated. But the more I talk to people, the more I even live in my own skin, is I realize that the feelings of defeat just happen. And whether it's life going on, whether it's sickness. And so for me, even just like, watching my wife battle with sickness and just like, or life and in general. So I would have kind of gone into that and maybe teased that a little bit more. I think I talked even a little bit, I read, like, for example, from David Simmons, a quote from there where he's just talking about healing damaged emotions, in terms of like, we are constantly almost like attacked with certain feelings of inferiority. Mm-hmm. and all that, and just, but then this psalm helps us so much in terms of realizing how then do we pick ourselves from the flow of defeat. Mm-hmm. So if I was to push a little bit more, it would have been like, it's not so much of, this is something we all struggle with.
Right.
That constantly we're feeling defeated. And I think I would have spent a little bit more time unpacking, because Psalm 44 is a backdrop to Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, there's only one verse that's picked up from Romans 8, but yet, when you blow it up and you look at Romans 8 as a whole,
right,
there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And the wrestle in there is like in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And the wrestle is through persecution. There's groaning, and there's like, consider the sufferings of this present are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is yet to come. What is God doing? He's doing good in the midst of, he's doing good for those that love him. But then there's this, like, there's this thing like where who shall condemn us, and then after that, like, what shall separate us from the love of Christ,
right?
Which is actually what the pinnacle of this psalm kind of ends up going into, that like he appeals to God's steadfast love. So I would spend even more time in the New Testament context of Romans 8 being, this is what the life in the Spirit looks like. It's a favorite passage, but people usually don't realize that its background is defeat.
Right.
Like, what do we do as Christians now that we've got this glorious gospel?
Right.
But yet, man, the reality is like, man, every time I walk out there, there's trial after trial and trial. How do we live a life of victory in the face of constant defeat?
Right.
You know, so really kind of like, of which Romans 8 is going to say, hey, you've won the war.
Right.
Even though you're losing little battles.
Yeah.
Remember, you've won the war. Who's on your side? There's God on your side. Who's on your side? You know, the Spirit intercedes.
Right.
Like, if you're groaning, the Holy Spirit is groaning together with you. Like you said a couple of weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit is taking your imperfect words and sending them to God and say, do good by Him. You know what I mean? Like, just that. Like, just kind of like, and then so, it's almost like, who's on your team? God is for you. Who can be against you? The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. You know, the Holy Spirit confirms in you, 8:16, that you are the child of God. That, like, you know, you're losing everything, but you still have this spirit of adoption in you.
Mm.
But then also, you know, Christ intercedes for you. It's like you're in a battle zone, but who's in your comms?
Yeah.
Who's leading you out of the tunnel of like, hey, watch out on the left. There's you know, hostiles here. There's this, like, it's like you're going to make it out of this thing. Hmm. And you know what? What you're guaranteed in? That nothing will separate you from His steadfast love. So I know it might just be like, it's one of those things where I'm like, when Paul is kind of talking later on and he's saying, for your sake, we're counted as sheep that are led for soul slaughter. It's almost as if, like, were you meditating on this psalm, Paul? Like, you know, so that for me is like, actually, like, that's a whole other sermon. So
that brings up so much in regards to like the Christian life, because a lot of people would read Romans and think it's all about like all about the victory. And a lot of people feel pressure into only proclaiming victory, but really when it's in light of the lament, there is still victory even when we feel defeated. And it's not ignoring your current circumstances, it's confessing them. It's acknowledging them to God, which leads you to the road of proclaiming the victory. It's not a, I guess there's no pressure. You can admit where you are, and it's not ignoring the victory, but it for us as, you know, fallen human beings who still have these experiences, it can lead us to still proclaim that victory, even in light of our circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a. You don't have to ignore what's going on around you.
Mm.
You can confess it.
Which is what Romans 7 is doing.
Yeah.
Like, because Romans 7 ends with a lament.
Yeah.
Wretched man that I, who I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yeah. Like, that's a man who's lost the war, who's defeated, who's on the ground.
Yep.
He's like, I don't even understand what's going on in me. I'm trying to do good. I end up doing bad. Like, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing.
Yep.
And he's like, man, there is a war. In fact, he's going to say this. For I delight in the law of the Lord in my inner being, but I see many another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Like, there's like, this guy is defeated. He's on like, he's like, man, like, which is that inner war, where it's like that, like, and he just ends up and says, I'm screwed, basically. Wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, you know. So he basically then has to, which is, he has to actually say, but I have victory. What kind of victory is it? I have no condemnation. And then it ends with, I'm not separated from God. In the midst of the war, there's no condemnation, means I'm accepted, right? Because God has taken all the condemnation through Christ. But then also, I'm not separated through what? Through Christ and his steadfast love. And so that's, at the end of the day, that's like, I don't think I'll ever preach Romans 8 without Psalm 44. That's it's almost like, hey, let's just go into Paul's mind. I think what he was going through here was Psalm 44. I would end up having to like almost unpack Psalm 44 to go into Romans 8, you know? So.
That's good. I think, again, the loss of lament, it's almost like a license. You know, even people look at Paul like, well, look at him. He was singing in prison. Like, people don't imagine him often like lamenting. But here it is.
And they've tried so hard to take Romans chapter 7 and make it seem as if it was like, oh, no, this was pre-saved Paul. This was not, because you know why? Because we hate the whole idea. You and I talk more often about the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. We like the theology of glory, but that theology of glory, that like everything else is mountaintop. We forget that actually, like, the theology of the cross, where suffering is still there. You can still be ruling and reigning, and you know, like Romans 6 is gonna say, sin will not have dominion over you. You can still be at the bottom, but still be ruling and reigning with Christ, because you understand that, like, even at the bottom there, you're being conformed to the image of His Son, which is Romans 8:29. So yeah, that's, I would have spent more time on that, but then that we would have gotten, that would not have been 10 minutes, because Romans 8.
Yeah.
If I could actually really just encourage any Christian, I would say, memorize Romans 8. Like, that's like, that's probably like the mountaintop of the New Testament in some way. But at the same time, it teaches you how to stay on the mountaintop, even though in reality you're in the valley.
The mountaintop and the valley.
Yeah, you're so living in those two realities.
Yeah.
Two realities at the same time. Where there's this, you are living in your true spiritual dimension versus actually your natural, like, this is like, I'm in the crud. Things are just going crazy. But don't mistake me for like, I belong down here.
Yeah.
At the same time, I belong up there.
Yeah.
And those two realities are running concurrently at the same time, and and every one of them, even that one, is as real as this one, and it doesn't ignore the other one.
Yeah,
but that one is more important because it actually informs what this one, which is why I kind of just like, really, I think the saddest thing right now is us as Christians that, like, literally, like, I know we get life gets busy and all that stuff. I just read yesterday Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is in the midst of, it's a lament as well, in chapter 15. But yet he says, then I found the word of God, and it became sweet to me. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 44 says, Lord, we've heard. the works you did and all that. Like, and so I remember just kind of applying and saying, we need to actually know, if anything, we need to know God's resume inside out. That is what helps us with, you know, this reality where we're in. We will not know the inheritance or the powerful, how powerful the other reality of our adoption is, unless we constantly create these little portals where we escape and we go and discover more of those realities. Like, and how do we do that? It's on a daily basis where we read scripture, we discover stuff. Like today I was reading Jeremiah 16, where God himself was saying, it will no longer be said, you shall no longer say, as long as the Lord lives, who took you from Egypt, you will be saying, no, the same Lord who took them from Egypt now is taking us out.
Right.
Like, where basically God was saying, I don't want you just to call me as the God who took us from Egypt. I want you to say, I'm the God who took you from your current.
Right.
So God literally is almost like saying, hey, don't put me just in the past.
Yeah.
I am here also to do the same thing I did in the past. And so this morning I was relishing on that. Just on the fact that, like, wow. Even in 2021, I can hear God saying, hey, don't only just put me out there as like the God who resurrected Jesus.
Yeah.
I can also do what?
Right.
I can also confront, like, you know, pastoring a church, you know, there's issues and issues and issues. I can also intervene on these issues today so that you don't say, oh, he's the God of, like, he's also the God who got us through 2021.
He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today. Yeah.
That day is just like, that has to take you having to almost plug in on a daily basis to go onto that other, this spiritual, like, realm of what God has done, and therefore, and putting confidence there. I think that's what Paul even ends up with. Just, man, like, nothing will separate us. Things present or things to come. That's become my frame.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, thank you for that. This last week was, and Karis was even talking to me about, how I tend to forget who I am in Christ and how, like, it can even affect our marriages, our relationships with other people. And how we need to keep remembering and claiming and proclaiming who we are to ourselves. So yeah, it was spot on, man. So
that's good.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, that's Psalm 44 has really been very helpful for me. I think that's. And that applies even especially in our lives, whether it's depression, whether it's even addiction. Because, like, can you just imagine what it's like to say, I know sometimes, like, we get on people and say, man, if you could try harder, you could kick this thing. Man, I've seen people clear-eyed say, I'm done with this. And then tomorrow they're back at it.
Yeah.
Like, can you just imagine the cycle of defeat?
Yeah.
To the point that they are run so down. But, like, then, like, at least with Psalms 44, it helps us with that. Like, in terms of, that's why I love the Bible, because it helps, it picks you up, man. Like, this right here, Psalm 44 is like a great picture of what Psalm 139 says. Even if I put my bed in hell, you are there. And you are able to raise me up from there. And, like, there is a way out. And what is the way out? Man, recite who he is, fortify who you are in Christ. And that is the hope that we have. That, with that say, that's where we end, even with the greatest quote I've ever heard from the greatest preacher. You don't know him, but I got to know him. He says that in Christ, there's no hopelessness. Yeah, that's... Go research that. You will find out who he is. So,
yeah, I know who you're talking about, man.
Yep.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your faithfulness to the word, and you know, it's a blessing to be a part of a church that, you know, proclaims and pushes people to the scripture for the sweetness found there. So really appreciate it. So thank you. And thank you for this last 20 minutes. So
right. That's awesome.
Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for, again, this is More Than That with Gus Bird and Raphael McCall.
Yeah.
Have a good week.
All right. God bless.